Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
Jedi, like my father before me.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Well, welcome everybody to 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. This is where we here at Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, get to know a Star Wars fan a little bit better. And I am David Jesse. I'm the Bowtie Jedi guy. And normally on our weekly podcast, I'm joined with by my two sons. So we have BB Nate and Samuel the Hutt. But because this is more of a conversation with a fan, we feel like it would get crazy if we have all three of us interviewing somebody on here. So I'll just take care of this one on my own each week. This week we are joined by one of our Patreon supporters. He is a Jedi Knight with Patreon on Tatooine Sun's page, which means he is supporting our podcast every single month and helping us do what we do. And so we wanted to get to know Bradley Hall a little bit. Everybody, welcome Bradley Hall. It's great to have you on here, bud.
Great to be with you.
Awesome. And before we get jumping into the questions, there's a couple things that I want to make sure that we inform everybody about. One of those is actually really exciting. There's an opportunity, if you're listening to this podcast today on Tuesday, April 10th, to help make Star Wars history. And the way it works is really simple. It's just about you reaching out to a specific Twitter account or Instagram. By the way, they're also asking for suggestions on Instagram and helping make Turbis canon. But I probably should explain, if this is the first time you've listened to this podcast, you may not know what that means. So going all the way back to January 31st, the Tatooine Sons, so myself and Samuel the Hutt, who's 16, and BB Nate, who is 12, were invited to the IMAX headquarters for a special screening of The Last Jedi, followed by an extended Q&A session with the writer and director of The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson. And it was an absolutely amazing experience. And if all that ever happened on the entire time we were there was getting to see that movie with 150 other absolute Star Wars fanatics at IMAX headquarters, and then getting to hear Rian Johnson answer questions from the audience and from Collider, that would have been awesome. But towards the end of the Q&A session, BB Nate, like I said, he's just 12 years old, he raised his hand to ask a question, and he was called on. And he asked Rian Johnson what the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon is. And we're talking about the one sort of in the third act of The Last Jedi, where Rey is flying the Millennium Falcon on Crait, and you see the Porg on the dash, or excuse me, Chewie is flying the Millennium Falcon on Crait, and there's a Porg that keeps jumping up on the dashboard and gets slammed against the window and all that fun stuff that's going on. So he asked what the name of that Porg was. And Rian Johnson got this wide-eyed look on his face. You can check out the video on our Twitter page. It's a pinned tweet there. It's on our website, TatooineSons.com. It's on our YouTube page as well. You can see Rian Johnson's eyes get really wide because he isn't 100% sure what to say. And then he looks at my son, BB Nate, and says, "What do you think that Porg's name is?" And BB Nate proceeded to name the Porg Turbus. Now, Turbus is actually the name of our dog with the syllables switched around. So our dog's name is Buster, and he came up with this on his own. He decided to switch those two syllables and came up with Turbus, and the whole crowd got all excited and started clapping. And Rian Johnson looked at the camera because it was being recorded on Facebook and on for Collider, and he looked at the camera and he said, "Pablo," meaning Pablo Hidalgo, who's like the keeper of the canon, at Lucasfilm Story Group. He pointed his finger at the camera and said, "Pablo, if you're watching this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbus. That's a great Star Wars name." And that's the last we've heard of it. Now, afterwards, we met with Rian. Rian wrote down Turbus's name so he could get it to Pablo, but we haven't heard anything. So this afternoon, one of our other Patreon supporters, who was actually our first guest on 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday, Megan Camp, tweeted to us, letting us know that Funko Pop, if you're a big fan of Funko, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You probably know, even if you're not a fan. Funko has got a new Porg coming out, and they're asking for suggestions on the name. And so we're trying to get a whole campaign of everybody on Twitter and Instagram to send a message to Funko Pop. Their Twitter name and their Instagram name is @OriginalFunko. Send them a message with the hashtag MakeTurbusCanon, and let's see if we can't get this thing done. I've reached out to Rian. I've reached out to Pablo. I've reached out to Andy Gutierrez from the Star Wars show. We've reached out to a bunch of different people. Mark Hamill, asking them to help us make this happen. So we just need you guys to get the word out there. I know, Bradley, you've already sent messages out there and things like that. So thank you so much for doing that. And I appreciate that very much. So make Turbus Canon, hashtag make Turbus Canon. Let's get that out there. Okay. Enough of the preliminaries. Let's talk a little bit about Bradley. Now, Bradley, actually your daughter was the star of the show on our weekly podcast last week, Avery, with her two questions about some plot holes on The Last Jedi. Now, the first question had to do with the fact when the bombers open up and Paige is laying there in the bomber bay, she was concerned that there's a vacuum in space that's going to pull her out with the bombs and everything else. And then the second question had to do with hyperspace tracking and how she was curious as to why this seemed like new technology when they tracked through, they tracked the Tantive IV in A New Hope to start the entire Star Wars saga in the first movie. I know you guys asked these questions to Tumbling Saber, but I haven't heard that episode yet. So, Bradley, why don't you let our listeners know what Tumbling Saber answered, if you can remember.
It was about a week ago when I listened to their podcast, and I believe they actually had pretty much the same answers as far as the, jump into hyperspace. I think they said, they referred to Rogue One just like y'all did. And I believe what Samuel the Hutt said was what Tumbling Saber said, that they were, or the way they understood it is when she references, when Jyn Erso references, tracking,
hyperspace tracking. Yeah,
that reference was to be understood that they were working on it, that it was something that they were seeking to gain knowledge on, but it actually hadn't happened yet. And so they, like y'all did, explained about the Tantive IV, being, you know, damaged and it leaving kind of a trail, like a, I think you said breadcrumbs, you know, that
right,
that's a good
right
description. Yeah, and so I was like, okay, so that makes sense. That, you know, that explains that for me. So y'all are pretty much on the same wave there. I also sent the questions off to Talk Star Wars, and I have not listened to that podcast yet.
Well, I'm sure
that
Mark and Rob and those guys are going to answer that one for sure. So.
Oh yeah, I was like, I turned right when after I sent it to Tomo and Saber, I was like, I've got to turn around and send it to you guys and send it to Mark and Rob. I was like, I want to hear what they have to say about this, because I know they're so technical and serious and they'll just tear it completely apart. And
awesome.
I've actually never sent in a question to them before, so that was the first time that I sent in one to y'all and one to them. So so that was the answer on that one. Basically the same thing about the bombs dropping. They actually took it in another direction. They were talking about how the gravitational pull and stuff. They were actually something I didn't even think about, you know, as far as the ship and the bombs and the bombs would, I think they, you know, like in real world terms, the bombs would come out and just kind of float away, I guess. They wouldn't necessarily fall, keep falling straight, maybe. I don't know. I don't know space, so I've never been there, so I can't speak for what would actually happen. But, you know, once – I think the way Corey explained it is once it starts moving in one direction, it would just continue to move on in one direction. And, you know, the ship, after the bombs dropped, the ship actually dropped with it, and that actually wouldn't happen either. But, you know, it's Star Wars. It's, you know, suspended belief and all that. It's not Star Trek like you were saying yesterday.
Exactly. We don't have to have answers to every little technical detail. So.
Right, yeah. And you're right about how they would – immediately they would have a scene or something that explains, you know, how everything just happened. And,
right.
You know. Where Star Wars doesn't do that at all. It's just like, figure it out or debate it later or whatever.
Fill it in on your own, right?
Exactly. What would have been cool about that scene, and I don't think it would have taken much to do, is, you know, kind of like the little force field, the little blue little screen or something, and having the bombs as they go through, you know, kind of, you know, making a little spark or whatever, you know, like they're actually going through some kind of screen or filter or force field. I thought would have been kind of cool, but you know, I could care less one way or the other, you know, it's a cool looking shot. That's an awesome scene in that movie.
It really is.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
It's just,
I remember Pablo early on after the movie came out. That was one of the biggest criticisms. And he mentioned two things Pablo Hidalgo did. One of those being the fact that this isn't the first time we've seen bombs drop in a Star Wars movie. Does everybody forget the asteroids scene in Empire Strikes Back? They're dropping
Empire,
bombs there. And so this isn't like there's not precedent here. And then I remember him saying something about magnetics were used, like the bombs themselves were magnetized in such a way that they would be attracted to the dreadnought. I don't know. Maybe that's something else, but that's kind of what the idea was with that. But as far as the vacuum goes, I'm assuming it has to be some type of a force field, like we said on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Well, we loved that segment with Avery, and we loved the way that it gave us a chance to interact. We had never taken a question like that before on the show, and so we were thrilled to do it, and we loved it so much that we're asking for more of them. So if Avery's got any more questions, send them in. If anybody else listening to this podcast has kids that want to ask Star Wars questions, or if you want to have, if you're a kid at heart, and you want to ask a Star Wars question, we'd love to answer those. It gives us a chance to think on our feet. I'm not giving those questions to Sam or Nate beforehand, so they've got to answer them on the spot. And so that's a lot of fun to see how they go with it. So,
yeah, they did an excellent job. Yeah,
they're pretty smart kids. They take after their mama. So,
Right. So does mine. Well, I mean, she likes to ask questions every once in a while, and since it's a family show, I think that would be a perfect place to send her questions each week.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, yeah. Or when she has one, I'll send them your way for sure.
Sounds good.
Because,
we love it.
Yeah, because she's 11, and then what, Sam, Nate
is 12.
12?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're real close, and so, you know, it's kind of neat to get that, you know, that comparison, you know,
mm-hmm.
what one's thinking compared to the other one, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the whole premise of our entire show is the idea of passing on love for Star Wars to your kids and letting them have a chance
right.
to experience this. And so we figured we need to make that invitation out there to anybody that wants to have their kids send in a question. We'll answer it. And that'll,
mm-hmm.
that'll be a lot of fun. That's awesome. And it was appropriate that one of our Patreon supporters. Go ahead.
Yeah. Was that your first question on y'all's podcast?
First time we've ever done anything like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to think if y'all had, and when I was sent it in, I was like, you know, I wonder if they've had a question before, and I didn't think you had, so I've listened to all of them. Cool. That's neat.
That was awesome. So you were the first, and that's appropriate because you're one of our Patreon supporters. You were one of our first podcast subscribers. I think you even reviewed our podcast early on as well on iTunes. And so
mm-hmm.
It was appropriate for us to have that first question come from you and your daughter. Of that. So we love it. And
yeah, I was Patreon number 4.
There you go. Patron number 4. And I think you might have been like iTunes rate review like 2 or 3 or something. It was like really early on.
Oh, really?
With it. It feels like it's been forever since we started this podcast, but it's hard to forget. It's easy to forget that it's only been since December with it.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Sam and Nathan the other day with the daily podcast we're doing with Tatooine Sons HoloNet now, the news podcast. And then I've got
mm-hmm.
my daily Bible podcast that I do called Driven by the Bible, which is like a 5-minute verse of the day type podcast. So I'm doing that one every day.
Oh,
and then,
really?
And then every week we've obviously got our weekly podcast, which is the one we started with. And now I'm doing the Tatooine Tuesday questions podcast. I'm doing 16 podcasts a week right now. And there's got
mm-hmm.
to be some type of a podcast disorder because I feel like I've got it right now. I was amazing. So,
yeah.
So,
wow.
Well, it is a lot. Fortunately, the Tatooine Sons HoloNet's only about 3 minutes long. The longest thing with that one is trying to decide what stories to talk about with Star Wars
mm-hmm.
news. Cause I say it's the most important Star Wars news of the day, but there's,
right.
you know, sometimes
yep.
you got a lot of Star Wars news that's out there. And so yesterday
yeah.
was easy. It was going to be about Solo.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I giggled when you said it was that day. So that was great. And I reviewed
that
podcast last week as well, I believe.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I love it. I'm hooked.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I'm trying to still find my I think that there's still some things that we can do to make that podcast a little bit more engaging. I'm afraid that I'm going to start letting my sarcastic, snarky side come out just a little bit with some of the
yeah.
things that are out there. But we'll have to wait and see with it. I want to make
yeah.
it fun
yeah.
and entertaining. So. So I'm doing that one. Then I've got another podcast called Driven by the Bible, and it basically takes the verse of the day from the YouVersion Bible app. And I do
okay.
just a quick 5-minute, conversation or explanation of the verse and just some of my thoughts on it and stuff like that. And that one's been a lot of fun as well. So I've been doing that one. I started that one January 1st.
Did you? Okay.
My goal was to see if I could get 365 of them in this year. So
yeah.
That'll be.
Well, I'm
going to
check that out. Yeah, I wrote that down just now. So I'm going to check that out. That
awesome.
Sounds interesting.
Awesome. Well, listen, before we get into the 10 questions, I want to make sure I explain to the people that are listening that this isn't the first time that you and I have done this. One of our goals was originally to have you be like the second episode of this. But the problem was with,
mm-hmm.
We had some glitches with the recording. So we were doing it over Skype and
mm-hmm.
we just had a bad connection. And about every fourth or fifth word got garbled and you couldn't understand what was going on. It just wouldn't have been a good experience for the listeners. when I went back and listened to it. So we decided to do this all over again. And first of all, I can tell right now that the conversation is going to be a lot easier because we're going to be able to hear each other the whole time. And that will be good. But also, you know, I've slept since then, and I'm now that I've turned 43, I feel like maybe I'm losing my memory because I can't remember half your answers, but I just remember we had a good time. So I think we'll do that again. We'll jump here into the questions in just a second. But first, BB Nate is actually going to speak up and talk a little bit about how you can become, as a listener, you can become a Patreon supporter just like Bradley. So here's BB Nate.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us so we can do it. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome videos so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, so we're back with Bradley Hall on 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. And Bradley's ready to run the gauntlet. You ready to go on this?
I'm ready to go.
All right. They're pretty easy questions, I think, if I remember correctly. Let's see. Yeah. All right, first question. What is your first Star Wars memory, Brad?
Well, my first Star Wars memory would be right around the time of the Empire Strikes Back. And I think I mentioned this before. I do recall seeing the Star Wars in the movie theater, but I'm not too certain if it was the first time in 1977 or if it was the re-release that, occurred a few years later, or if it was, you know, like a year later when it was still in the theaters. But the one I really recall vividly the most is being with my mom and my aunt and my two cousins and us standing in line at a mall. And the line we were standing in was waiting to meet Darth Vader and Boba Fett.
Uh-huh.
And just obviously it was a long line. And I can remember standing there and, you know, getting out of the line to look to see Darth Vader and Boba Fett and just being, you know, so nervous, so excited. You know, I'm about to meet, you know, these characters that I've seen on the big screen. You know, they're going to be right in front of me. And so I remember that.
And I bet
that.
You they were
remember...
really big and really intimidating when you're that age.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, there was a little bit of fear involved, too.
I bet,
I was, 10 years old, and so – a little intimidation there for sure. And we got a photograph picture of them with their signature on it. And, I can't remember if I shook their hand or not. Mm. I probably didn't. I was probably too scared, too nervous, but that would be, my first Star Wars memory.
That's so awesome. I remember when we were at Celebration last year in 2017, we were in Orlando, which was about a month ago now, or a year ago, almost exactly. It was April of last year. One of the only real requests that Samuel LaHutt had, was to get to his picture taken and an autograph from Jeremy Bullock, who played the originally played Boba Fett in the original trilogy. So, and I remember we got there and there was confusion on the way that it was the first day of Celebration last year for the people that were there. It was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of confusion, a lot of miscommunication on lines and stuff. And he missed his time to get in line to see Jeremy Bullock and his autograph. And he was just looking at me like, Dad, you've got to fix this right now. And so the customer service line was massive. It was unbelievable because of all the confusion that day. So I sent Samuel and Nathan to a panel with Ian McDiarmid where he talked about playing the Emperor. I sent them off to that and I got in line and I ended up standing in line for 3 hours on that first day just to get them to agree to allow us to go to the signing that was the next day, because our tickets were for the first day for him, and they gave us tickets to the second day for that with it. But man, to see the look on his face when he met Jeremy Bullock, who's one of the nicest, most soft-spoken men you'll ever meet. He's totally not Boba Fett in real life.
Yeah.
To get his picture with him, and he has a Boba Fett backpack that looks like, you know, Boba Fett's armor, and he got his autograph on there. And I remember that was awesome. That's a great first memory.
Cool.
From that.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
that's neat.
When we spoke last time, I asked the next question, which was what's your favorite Star Wars movie? And you were pretty emphatic about what it was. And then within the last few days, you tweeted to me and said that it might have changed. And this is a pretty significant change if it's true. So what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
It's still Star Wars.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
It's still A New Hope. Okay.
It's question number 4 is the one you're
that. Oh, is it? Which one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll come back to that one. Okay. So Star Wars A New Hope, the original... It's still head and shoulders above the other ones. It's not in any risk of getting knocked off. Its platform is number one. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now,
why do you love that so much?
It's just it's the first one that started it all. I believe I told you also I prefer the original copy of it. I have an original copy or somewhere right around there. It's the one that doesn't have A New Hope. It doesn't have Episode 4 at the top. It's grainy as all get out. You know, it doesn't have any special edition, nothing in it. You know, it's just, it's missing a lot of dialogue that's been added over the years. And that's if you said you can only watch one Star Wars movie, you know, and then you're not able to watch anymore, that would be the one I would pick and watch it for my last Star Wars experience. Now, over the years, like when I was a kid, so like when Star Wars came out, I saw it when I was 6, all the way up to 12, 13, somewhere right around there. Once Return of the Jedi came out, for years, Return of the Jedi was my favorite movie. I just love that movie. I love everything about it. I love all the creatures in Jabba's palace. I'm one of those that just love the Ewoks. I just think they're cool. And just that movie, everything, it had it all. And for years, that was my favorite movie. And then in the 90s, it started transitioning over to Empire. And I probably liked Empire the best for a good 15, maybe 20 years. And then it's been, the last maybe 10 years, somewhere right around there, I've really come around. And now New Hope is just, it's the movie for me. I will say this, New Hope and Empire always be 1 and 2, whether they flip flop, in the future, who knows? But they'll always be 1 and 2 for me.
Awesome.
And really, nothing's going to crack my top 3. With them two, and then Return of the Jedi.
You're an original trilogy guy all the way.
Yeah. I mean, these new movies are good, and obviously visually they look stunning, and they have all that going for them, but nothing's going to beat what I had in my childhood. It's just a nostalgia thing for me. Those movies have tons of flaws in them, everything else that all these other movies have. But it's just that the time and place for me. So
the continuity errors, like the big one that's up right now where Rey's battling a Praetorian guard that's got a knife in one hand and a sword or a spear or something in the other. And she gets caught up with him, and all he could, if he had the knife in his hand, could stab her in the back. Those types of continuity errors exist throughout all the Star Wars movies. It's sort of what makes Star Wars, Star Wars. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. And it really doesn't bother me, because if you go through and you look at the original trilogy, there's tons of that in there. I mean, I can't think of one right off hand, but I'm sure, you know, they're throughout all three of those movies. And if you let little things like that bother you, you're missing out on the whole experience. You know, you're just, go do something else. You know, it's just enjoy them. They're fun.
They're movies, and right?
They're movies, yeah. And they're going to, you know, they're not going to be perfect, you know. So
that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So next
But it's a lock for number one. It's not changing.
Yeah. Okay. Not changing. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's what I was confused at. Can't wait to get to four now, but we got to go to three first. So favorite non-Star Wars movie?
Gladiator.
That's right. Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? That's right.
That's awesome.
I kept my voice down because my girls might be going to bed now. But,
that's true. So. It's late out there on the East Coast. So what is it about Gladiator that you love so much?
I love the story. I love the, you know, the cinematography in it. The opening fight, battle between the two sides, is just incredible. And I love, you know, all the fighting in it. I love how he's, you know, at the top, you know, he's literally going to, you know, the father wants him to be really the one in charge of the whole army and to be in charge of the country in a sense. But, you know, he's reduced down to nothing and, you know, he gets tore down and then he gets built back up and he makes his way, you know, slowly but surely. And ultimately, he, you know, gets rid of, you know, Caesar and takes care. I believe it's Caesar. Mm. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, actually, but I just love the whole story of him and his buddies working together and them figuring out a way, you know, to free them to give them their freedom, but also then. In a sense, you know, he wanted revenge ultimately for his, you know, not only him killing his father, but also, you know, revenge for his mom, or I mean, for his wife and his child, you know, and him get, you know, he basically delivering the justice that guy should have gotten. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
The fight scenes are pretty cool too.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. That's what really does it for me is the Colosseum. I mean, those fight sequences are awesome. You know, I reached out to Matthew last night and I said, "Hey, can you take the quest? You know, with the Legos."
Yeah.
Stop action, and so he goes, "Yeah," and so I was like, "Hey, can you do the fight scene in Gladiator?"
I saw that. And that's awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm like, I hope he does it. Did you see his reply back? He was like, the Tigers might be a little hard to do.
He'll figure it out. It's a challenge now. And just for those of you guys that are listening, Matthew was actually our guest last week on 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. So if you haven't checked out that episode, listeners, go back and you can go to iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, wherever, anywhere you go to your podcast and find the 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday from, let's see, today's the 9th, or the 10th. It's 10th that this is Tuesday. So, so the 3rd, and you can listen to he's got some amazing stop motion, the Lego stuff that he does. It's so fun.
Yeah.
So. Awesome. All right, here we are.
Question
4.
Questions was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, it was so much fun to do. Yeah, it was neat. It was really neat. All right, question 4. Here we go. So I'm trying to remember who your favorite character was the last time we talked. So that's the question. Who's your favorite character? Now you get to explain yourself a little bit about how that may have changed in the last few days.
All right. What I told you before was Obi-Wan.
That's right.
He's my favorite character. Yeah. And, you know, I noticed listening to Matthew's, you know, answers yesterday, we've got a lot of similar, you know, answers. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
That is cool.
So, like I said before, Obi-Wan is my favorite, but growing up as a kid, Luke was my favorite. And really, those characters, just all the time, flip back and forth on which one's my favorite. Now, we got, The Last Jedi on Blu-ray when it came out. And so I think we watched it the first three or four nights we had it. I think we even broke our Blu-ray player, so we can't even watch it anymore right now.
No.
It's making these god-awful sounds. And so we were like,
goodness,
let's take the movie out so we don't mess the movie up. And we'll so we watched it and broke the Blu-ray player. So, but I found myself, every time I watched it, I'm just like loving Luke more and more. Mm. And I'm just like, man, it's just, at first I wasn't too sure about him, but the more I watch it, the more it makes sense. And the more, it's just, there was a YouTube video that I ran across that was a Metallica song, Unforgiven, and it shows Luke from beginning to end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way they cut it up and the way they shot it, a lot of movement and expressions are just perfectly in line with the younger Luke and the older Luke. And it just, mm-hmm, like, man, it just kind of made it all complete for me and just kind of, I don't know, made me look at it totally in a totally different way. The only thing I still have a problem with is with Luke in The Last Jedi is just the moment of weakness, thing with Ben. That it just seems like it would have taken a little bit more for Ben to burn down the whole temple just from that one little incident. There's something that just I wish, could have maybe explained that a little bit better for me. It's hard to describe what's not right about that for me, but.
So are you more concerned with the way Ben reacted to it? Or are you more concerned with the way Ben reacted? Or are you concerned about about Luke and what he did in the flashback scenes with that? Help me understand that.
Yeah, it's kind of both. With Luke, that part of Luke doesn't make sense to me. I don't see that he would come to the conclusion that he just needs to kill him. That does not seem like Luke Skywalker to me. Mm. What I do like about that is, we all can have a moment of weakness and mess up, I mean, we do it all the time. I mean, we're not perfect. And so, so that part of it I can understand, but to have a moment of weakness and the result is I'm going to kill my nephew, that one's kind of a hard one to swallow. At the same time, Luke, Ben just kind of goes to the extreme here, It's like, you tried to kill me, well, I'm just going to destroy it all. Mm. That's a little bit more believable than the other, but.
Well, I think that.
That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Right. Okay. I think that on that sequence, and I get where you're coming from on it, but I think on that sequence that both of those together actually answers the question. Because I think Luke has seen into Ben and sees how evil Ben really is, and it terrifies him. It's like that moment on Octu with Rey when she goes down into the Force hole or cave or whatever that is, the Dark Side cave, and she comes out and he says, I've seen this type of power only one time before in Ben Solo. And it didn't scare me then. It scares me now. I think that he saw deep enough into Ben to see this guy is evil to the core. And that moment, for me, reminds me a great deal of Luke's. There's a point in Return of the Jedi where it's very clear Luke is prepared to kill Vader. He's prepared to murder his own mm-hmm. father in order to protect Leia, because that's what sets him off in Return of the Jedi. And so I think that he sees what Ben is going to become, and I wouldn't be surprised if he sees Ben killing a Force vision of Ben killing Han. And that's like, it throws him down. I've got to do something about it. And it's in that very moment he's standing over Ben that he realizes, as much as he feels like he should end Ben's life, he can't. Just like with Vader.
He
couldn't end Vader's life. It's the same type of a scenario playing out. But at the same time, when Ben opens his eyes, it sends Ben down the darkest path. It triggers Ben to be exactly what Luke saw. So the reaction from Ben was the question that we have to answer or ask ourselves is, in an alternative storyline, if Luke never walks into that hut that night, does Ben become Kylo Ren? That's sort of the question that we have to, that would be a fun segment to discuss at some point down the road on a podcast. So Luke is now, it's possibly pushing in front of Kenobi is what you're telling us.
He's getting next to him. He's getting cozy.
Well, you know, it's funny because The Last Jedi, Luke, is an old hermit in Jedi robes living alone. So, you know, it's Kenobi all over again anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, Obi-Wan, there's so much. What's really solidified Obi-Wan for me is the prequels with Ewan McGregor. I mean, he killed it. It was... that was just so perfect. And also the Clone Wars series, you get to see another, 6 seasons of Obi-Wan. And I love that character in that series. I thought that was, awesome. And, I love Alec Guinness and his portrayal of Obi-Wan. And so it's just kind of like a combination of all of it. At the same time, Luke Skywalker was, my favorite character as a kid growing up. And so, it's really hard, but I think Obi-Wan right now is my favorite. But just like Star Wars and Empire, those could, depending on, what season I'm in, that could flip, that could change, so.
All right, now,
You want one answer, so I'm giving you one answer.
Yeah, I still don't know which one it is. No, I'm kidding. All right, so let's move on to question number.
It's Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. Yeah, I know. But hey, it was fun to talk through. So that was awesome. Okay, so now we're gonna go to 5, and I think if I'm not mistaken, from the last time we tried to do this, you don't really have much of a problem with Jar Jar. Is that right?
No, he doesn't bother me too much.
Okay. So normally I have to question that or preface the question and say you can't answer Jar Jar, but I won't have to do that with you because you wouldn't have answered him anyway. Who is your least favorite Star Wars character?
It's Captain Panaka.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not Saul Guerrera. It's Captain Panaka.
Yeah, who was it? It was Matt that had Saul last week, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I love Saw. I think Saw was a great character. But
yeah,
anyway, okay.
Great.
So
why
don't you like Captain? Now, Captain Panaka, for those of us that are listening to this podcast that are racking their brain right now trying to figure out which character that was from the prequel, explain who he is, and then go for it.
You have the most intelligent Star Wars listeners. They all know who Captain Panaka is.
Well, explain that
positive here.
For a first time listener, explain who Captain Panaka is and then why you dislike him so much.
I'll do all in one.
Okay.
I dislike him, and what he does is nothing. He adds nothing to the story. That's why I don't like him. All he does is question the Jedi. Which
all
actually,
through Phantom Menace. Yeah.
All through Phantom Menace, yeah. Which really isn't a bad thing, but you know, when you really look at it, the Jedi should be questioned for a lot of their decisions in the prequels. But you know, the ones he was were questioning were actually, you know, they were making good decisions. But yeah, I don't like him because I felt like he just served no purpose in the story other than to second guess everything that Qui-Gon, Jyn, and Obi-Wan were doing. So yeah, he's just annoying. I didn't like him.
Well, now you do know. Have you read Leia, Princess of Alderaan?
No, I have not.
Well, he rears his ugly head.
Does he? Okay. He's
actually a really integral character in it. And I hope I'm not spoiling this for too many people out there, but he actually dies in the storyline. But so maybe that's a reason to
read
the book.
Yeah, I've got to read it now.
That's awesome. All right.
I did a 180 there, didn't I?
There, yeah. He's dead. I'll read that one. It's actually a really cool storyline in the book, by the way. Claudia Gray does an amazing job with that book. But anyway. Okay, question number six. Better, Clone Wars or Rebels?
I prefer Clone Wars, even though Rebels is awesome. I think I mentioned this. I've watched the first three seasons of Rebels. I have not watched season four. But I will have to say the Twin Sons, that episode was an awesome episode. Was just, you know, on the edge of my seat that whole episode. And then the finale of season two, I'm sorry, when Ahsoka, you know, battles Vader. That episode was just awesome. I forget what the name of that episode was, but it was a season finale of season two,
Season two. That's the Twilight of the Apprentice series episode.
Yeah. Those two episodes are up there with any of the Clone Wars episodes. But I love what I liked about the Clone Wars is the arcs in them. Mm-hmm. You know, like the main one, the Mortis arc, I think that's awesome. You know, it got me thinking when you were talking about, you know, explaining to me about Luke, you know, seeing his future and stuff. In that arc, I believe
Anakin sees his future.
Anakin
later.
Not see what he will. Yeah, he will become, and then
he just doesn't
he
know that that's
to,
him. He sees Vader. He has a vision of Vader.
Right.
And doesn't realize it's him. Yeah,
right.
It's really a powerful.
Exactly
episode.
How that went down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my gosh, that. And when you think about it, that's a pretty heavy arc there. A pretty, you know.
Yeah,
and
it
that
is.
Was just crazy with, you know, how that went down and how Ahsoka was, you know, battling him there, you know.
Wow. I would love to watch the Mortis arc from Clone Wars followed by the Twilight of the Apprentice episodes from Rebels and then the last two or three episodes of Rebels finale in season four when they bring the Mortis arc back. Because I think that the whole storyline between Ahsoka and Vader is that is a rich storyline there in all those episodes. That would be fun.
Yeah. Boy, would that not be awesome to get a movie around Ahsoka and Vader and how that, because we all are wondering where Ahsoka's at from what I've heard. Like we don't know where she's at or where she, do we?
No, we have no idea where she's at until she shows up after the Battle of Endor. She shows up on Lothal, I guess 5 years later, 5 or 6 years later after Rebels. And we don't know where she's been during that whole time. We just know she hasn't been engaged. That's a question that needs to be answered. Where was she during that whole process? And why didn't she engage in the rebellion? So,
right. That wouldn't that be crazy if that movie came out of left field and we actually got to see a Vader and Ahsoka, you know, going at
battling?
That would
oh,
be,
man.
Yeah, that would be, whoo.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be pretty cool.
It would be.
Yeah.
Awesome. So now if you could change one thing about Star Wars, what would you change?
Oh, I would I would make Anakin a teenager and not a 9-year-old.
That's right.
He would be at least 17 in The Phantom Menace. And, you know, I've always kind of envisioned almost the way The Phantom Menace started out, but rather it would have been Obi-Wan and Anakin, you know, on some kind of little mission or something together, you know. And it was, you know, and just right from the get-go, we see them in the mix and just trying to and seeing them becoming Jedi, you know. And instead of a 9-year-old boy.
And what it would have done too is it would have given us an extra movie to develop the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin. I think that you know, that relationship is completely non-existent in The Phantom Menace. It's like, oh, this is a Qui-Gon Anakin thing. Qui-Gon Anakin thing. He dies. Oh, I guess I have to take a Padawan. That's all that happens with him and Kenobi in that movie. But if when you when you think back on that scene in Ben's hut on Tatooine, when he's talking about Luke's father, he's saying it with like this such regret and with emotion and affection and all of those things. And we don't see that a whole lot in the prequels. Up until, I mean, maybe a couple of scenes in episode 3 before you get to that big climax at the end on Mustafar, you don't see that relationship. And I would have liked to have seen that relationship because it would have meant that betrayal was more intense for Ben with that. That would have been fun.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it just, we just needed more of them two, you know, being, you know, actually best friends and being and having each other's back and being there for one another and really going to battle, you know, with one another. I think it would have just made that split, that Anakin turning his back on the Jedi Order, even more powerful. Yeah, I think you're right.
But and yeah, we got that in the Clone Wars. I think that's one of the reasons that Clone Wars series is so attractive is because we see that relationship. I mean, you can tell things like Obi-Wan has no question that Anakin's in a relationship with Padme. You see this stuff. There's this connection between the two of them that's been developed, which informs your viewing of Episode 3 when you've seen the Clone Wars. That makes it so much more rich. I just wish we could have had that, like you're saying, with the movie. That's a really good point that you made.
Yeah, in the prequels, everyone's real ignorant, you know? And come on. I mean, people know when somebody else likes someone. They can tell. They can sense it. They can, you know, it's not a big secret like everybody thinks. And they just make it, you know, where everybody's just kind of, you know, blind to it, and you know, about everything, you know, and it's just kind of like it just wasn't believable. And in fact, the Anakin that's in Clone Wars, that's the Anakin I like. That, to me, is, man, I wish we had that Anakin in the prequels.
Right.
That's awesome. I think it would have been a lot better. So
it would have been a lot of fun. Awesome. All right. Yes. So you're stranded on a desert island. You can only take three things, and they're not your family. What are you going to take with you?
Bubble gum, cotton candy, and a Snickers bar.
So you've gotten through the first 30 minutes. What are you going to do for the rest of the time you're there?
Awesome. I'm going to die of a sugar rush, right? No,
die happy at least, right?
Right, yeah. No, actually, I would take my Bible. I would take a knife, and I would take a picture of my wife and girls. So those are the three things I would take.
That's awesome. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So for you,
it's pretty cool too. It's pretty cool too. Cause I think I'm maybe the fourth or fifth. And I think three or four of us have set a Bible. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that it's a really neat how it's just the way things work. Like attracts like, and we try to keep a podcast that's positive, that is family friendly, and generally people that gravitate towards that have a certain worldview, and that's what is so exciting about that. We have a hope. Yeah. For something that is, and I think that's one of the reasons that I love Star Wars so much, Brad, is it's a story about there's something bigger going on. There is a for lack of a better term, there is a force, that's out there, and there's a spiritual realm, essentially in Star Wars that's good versus evil, and it's influencing everything that's going on in the galaxy. And there are a few people that seem that they're aware of that and they're able to function in that. Mm-hmm. With that reality, and because they're able to function with that reality, they can choose which side they want to be a part of and influence the world. And so that's one of the reasons I think Star Wars is so attractive to me, is because I believe that that exists in our reality as well. I think there is good. I think there is evil. I think there is a heavenly or spiritual realm that exists that, for lack of a better term, there's a battle, a war that goes on in that. And if we function from that perspective, we can hopefully be a part of making, I'm a big fan of understanding sort of the different prayers of Jesus, the prayers of Jesus, and just also the general teachings that he had in his gospels. And when he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we say it in the Lord's Prayer on earth as it is in heaven. And it means the same thing the way I think of it, but that was a prayer that was actually a traditional Jewish prayer, a portion of it from that time. And it would have been just translated into English directly. It would have been as in heaven, so on earth, the way that the heavenly realm is supposed to exist with God in full control. That's what should be happening on earth. And so that's, even today I was driving home thinking about this. And sometimes I wonder, why do I do a Star Wars podcast? Is there anything of real, significance or value to it? And I heard a teacher speaking about how sometimes just making somebody laugh, or just giving something, somebody a chance to take their mind off of their problems or their struggles for a little while, is bringing heaven on earth for them. It's them being able to move aside. And so I was like, I can be a part of something this does make an impact in people's lives, even if it's nothing more than giving them an escape for a little while and something positive. So I love that. Yeah. So how does Star Wars inspire hope for you?
Basically, it stems from Luke's story, where he was basically stuck on a desert planet, didn't really have any future, or it didn't appear that he had any future. He felt like he was going nowhere in his life, and by the end of the movie, he's the hero. He saves the day. He basically came from nothing, and now he's kind of everything in a sense. And, we see that all throughout Star Wars, now we're seeing it with Rey. She, kind of the same thing. She's on a desert planet. She's waiting around for her parents, and her daily life is, just scavenging. And by the end of the movie, she is defeated the evil one. And, she's conquered and she's saved the day to a certain extent. And so I just like that story. I like that whole process that takes place there. And kind of along with what you said, along with what Matthew said, there's something bigger, greater than us that's going on. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, that force, that goodness is going to win in the end. Every time, even in our stories in Star Wars, in the very end, good will conquer evil and good's going to triumph. And just like in the real world, God is going to conquer all in the end, and he's going to be the last one standing, and all of us, you know, the rest of us will be kneeling before him, worshiping him, you know, and evil will be finally conquered, you know, in the end. And so I kind of like, I like that as well, that there's something greater and bigger than us that we can actually be a part of and take place in. We just don't necessarily have to be bystanders. And it just takes, you know, it just takes, you know, stepping out there and saying, I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to idly sit by. And basically that's what, you know, that's what happened with Ray and her story. And that's what happened with Luke, you know. I mean, Luke was kind of forced in a little bit more. You know, Ray, you know, it's just by chance because of who she met, you know, meeting Finn in that circumstance. But at the same time, you know, once she gets put into it, she's willing, you know, she's willing to do what she's got to do. Even though she wants to go back home, you know, by the end, she's in it, you know, she's the one to go see Luke. She's the one that's going to, you know, go spread, you know, or go try to get Luke back so they, so they can, you know, defeat the evil. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, we've got the big one coming here in just a second. But before we do that, we're going to play one more message. This one's going to be from Samuel the Hutt, and he's going to, again, remind all of you that are listening how you can become a Patreon supporter like Bradley. So here is Samuel the Hutt.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Samuel the Hutt. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. BB Nate and I love talking about Star Wars with our dad, and we couldn't do it without the faithful support of our friends at Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, Brad, this is the big one. This is my favorite question. I mentioned to you the last time when we actually tried to do this that it's always been interesting to me. I've been asking this question for 20 years, and I've never – there's a follow-up question to it I already know the answer to, but it's always been the same with that. But I love the fact that choices are a big part of the Star Wars story. You even just talked about how Rey had to make a choice as to whether or not to get involved, and Luke had to make a choice as to whether or not he got involved. The opening to the Last Jedi novel. Have you had a chance to take a look at that novel yet?
No, I have not. I'm
not really spoiling anything with it, but the opening of it is a dream. The prologue is a dream that Luke Skywalker is having of what his life would have been like had he not with Ben Kenobi on one of his crusades, if he would have stayed at home and minded his own business, and what his life would have been like and what the galaxy would have been like. And it's really interesting. I think we all are given a time in our life multiple times when we're faced with making a choice, and we can go down one path or the other. My favorite poem is The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, you know, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry, I cannot travel both, you know, that whole thing. So I love the idea of choices in life and how our life is moves forward from that. So name a time in your life when you had to make a very clear choice that altered your future. What did you choose and why?
Okay. So I think the first go around, I kind of gave you a two-parter. This time I've got a three-parter. You know, I thought about my answer, and like, I think it was like a day or so later, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot that time. you know, it's one of those things that just slipped through the crack. And I was like, when I get back on here, I'm going to have to mention this one, because this one's, you know, a big one as well. Not as quite as big as, you know, maybe the other two, but still, nonetheless, it's, I don't know, it's probably up there.
Okay.
I'll start off with, probably the biggest decision I've ever made, and will ever make was, committing my life to Jesus, you know, accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. So that was, and I did that when, I was 12 years old at my grandparents' house, and my grandmother prayed the prayer with me. And from that moment on, my life has been different. Not to say that, you know, I've strayed and made bad decisions and went in different directions, but God's always kind of, you know, in his special way, just kind of brought me back and, you know, kind of course corrected me. And, you know, from that day on, you know, we talk about that word hope, and I've always had hope since that day, because I know this is not the end. I know that I'm his and that he will always watch over and protect me. Not to say that things won't happen to me, but he'll always, you know, get me through them. And in the end, I know everything is going to be done according to his blessings and glory. So, you know, I don't walk in fear. I don't walk in anxiety. I'm not anxious. You know, I'm just kind of, I just thank God for every day. I thank God for everything that he's given me and provided for me in my life. And so that would be the biggest decision in my life. Number two, which you've heard before, was the time where I was sitting in an Army recruiting office in 1989. I was about to graduate high school, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I thought maybe going into the service was what I wanted to do. It's something that, you know, my family has been in the service, you know, my father, grandfather, and so on. And so, you know, I thought, well, maybe that's, you know, what I'm supposed to do. At the time I was, my parents actually split, got a divorce when I was, 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And, at the time I was living with my mom. And she didn't know I was there, and I was basically a signature away from going into the Army, and, which would have put me in the first it would have put me in Desert Storm, the first one. So I think about that, and, like, you know, I might not even be around. So if I would have signed on the dotted line there, you know, and that's an important decision that, you know, thank goodness we have people that do step up and actually sign up for that and do that. But I think about, I don't know what it was, but I couldn't write my name. And, you know, I just told them I wanted to think about it a little longer. And, you know, they're really, you know, they don't like to let you out the door once they get you in there. You know, they're like car salesmen. You know, they want to. You know, they want to recruit you, but they let me walk, and you know, it was something. You know, mom, like I said, my mom didn't know I was there. Oh, I could imagine, you know, what she would have said if she would have found out. If I would have come home and said, "Well, I'm going to the Army," yeah, you know, that she would have been. Oh my goodness, but so the third one is. So a few years later, you know, I was just working warehouse jobs, like Sears Warehouse, Pep Boys Warehouse, stuff like that, and just working a lot of hours to make money. Didn't have any direction in my life. And me and a buddy, we decided to go off to aircraft school. So we were going to go and learn, you know, get our AP airplane airframe and power plant, and so I was going to be basically an airline mechanic. And so I'd been going to class for maybe 6 months or so. I'd already put in, I think, $6,000 into the school, and, you know, you're being evaluated as you go along, and I wasn't. It just, for whatever reason, it wasn't clicking for me. And so, you know, I had a hard decision to make. If really, it was like your top three guys in each one of these classes were, once the school was over with, they would go and find, you know, a job. They would get a good paying job, and they would make it. And basically, anyone below that at the time was just the way it was explained to me, you know, was going to have a hard time finding work. So, you know, it was a real hard decision for me just to quit in the middle of school. You know, I knew I was going to be out $6,000 that I was going to have to pay back. I saw this ad in this paper for this retail graphics company, and they needed somebody to work in the wood shop and you know, woodworking tools, saws and stuff that seemed to kind of interest me. And, you know, I was like, well, I've always wanted to learn how to use those. I'll bet you I'll get to, you know, learn how to use, you know, that equipment. And so I applied for it, got hired on, worked in the wood shop in the first year, and, you know, learned a lot. Still have all 10 of my fingers. So, you know, they taught me well. About a year and a half in, you know, I was hungry. I wanted to make more money. The only way to do that was to travel. And so for like the next 4 years, I traveled. this was probably about 26 to 20, 29, 30 in that range. Was how old I was, and got to see the country. I've practically been everywhere in the United States, been all over Canada, a little bit of Mexico. And then after that, I actually took 6 months, 9 months, went to this other company because I wanted to come off the road, and that didn't work out. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I came back and I've been there ever since. And so, you know, I've been with this company, you know, minus the 9 months for 22 years now.
Wow.
And like I mentioned before, I enjoy what I do. I get to play around with CNC machines. So I get to cut stuff out. I get to create stuff. I just enjoy what I do, and I think back to that decision that I had. You know, a lot of people think, "Oh, I've already got $6,000 invested in this." You know, I had all my buddies around me going, "Man, don't give up, don't quit. You can do it. You know, you'll make it." And I don't know. I just saw the writing on the wall and said, "You know what? I just better cut bait now, and then just, you know, do something else." It's just, I just don't have the drive. I don't have the passion for it, you know? Mm. And, you know, at 23, 24 years old, and you're not making any money, and the realization that you got to pay back $6,000, you know, it was kind of daunting at first.
Yeah, I bet it was.
But I worked hard and paid it off, you know, fairly quickly. You know, it's all worked out. So.
That's awesome. Awesome. And I know the answer to this question because we talked about it before. And I know that on the first one of your three answers, I definitely know the answer to this. But let's go with the other two. If you could go back to that moment, you're sitting in the recruiting office or you're sitting in that flight mechanics school, and you could change your mind and do some and take the other path, would you do it?
No. No, I wouldn't.
Awesome.
You know, you always wondered, you know, what would it have been like to go into the Army and do that? You know, I think that would have been an awesome adventure.
Sure.
You know, it really would have. And it would have been real rewarding, you know, the sense of, you know, fighting for your country and everything. I mean, that, you know, the people that do that are just awesome.
Mm, they are.
You know,
absolutely.
And, you know, I did miss out on that, you know. You know, who knows? But I don't look at it and go, man, I should have signed up. I should have gone. I should have, you know, done that. And never have I thought that at once. I'm so thankful that, you know, I didn't sign the dotted line. I'm so thankful that I didn't allow just $6,000, you know, keep me going in a in a direction that I shouldn't be going. You know, a lot of times when people feel desperate and feel like they have no way out, that's when you start making really bad decisions, and you start, you know, panicking and you start doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And, you know, I'm just so glad I didn't let that, you know, keep me from making the right decision, because I didn't make the right decision. Because if your heart's not in it, if you're not passionate about it, man, stop what you're doing and go do something else. You know, life is too short to just be going to a job every day and just trying to grind it out. You got to be going to somewhere that you enjoy, that you have fun, that you're passionate about, that doesn't drain you. You know, you need something that actually, you know, helps you get excited about and fuels you and feeds you, you know, because you're going to be working for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you inherit a lot of money.
You know, which the last time I know, there's only a couple people that win the lottery every once in a while. So.
Right. And they usually squander it away in those times.
They do.
You know?
You're right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, Brad, I certainly do appreciate you taking your last hour plus to hang out with us here on this and answer your questions, share your thoughts on Star Wars, your heart about a lot of other things. And I have a feeling that people are going to be entertained by your Star Wars answers and encouraged and even challenged by some of your other answers. And so I appreciate that very, very much. You get to ask me a question.
Oh, thank you.
Any other 10 questions, which one do you ask me?
Yeah, I want to know what's your favorite Star Wars movie, and I want to know their order. So
order.
Start at your least favorite all the way up to your favorite.
I've never done an order. I've like, and all those times they show up on like social media, Facebook, Twitter, and stuff. People start doing it. I've even like, we've even posted articles about it and talked about it on Tatooine Suns Holonet when this question. Like what order to watch the films in with Mark Hamill, and people were trying to put things in order and stuff. I would say my least favorite.
And you can put Rogue One in there if you want to.
No, I like Rogue One, so I'll put them all in. I'll do all nine. Let's see how long I can do this. Okay, probably my least favorite's going to be Phantom Menace, just because I think it's an unnecessary storyline. Although I don't think it had, you know, the general criticisms of it aren't as legitimate as people seem to think that they are. I think overall it's just an unnecessary movie. I would say after that.
I mean, it has the pod race in it, which is.
Well, you know, there you go. So it's working. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. That one's my least favorite. The next is going to have to be Attack of the Clones. Not a fan. And now it's getting hard because I'm going to go prequels to start things off. And I'm not really – I don't hate the prequels. I'm not one of those guys that despises it. I just as far as all of the movies that have come out, that's probably – those three are my least favorite. So Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. Probably Return of the Jedi next. Force Awakens after that. Let's see. I mean, Force Awakens is a decent movie, but it is sort of a retread of the basic storylines of the original movies. So I enjoyed it. But let's see. I'm going to go Rogue One. Did I do Return of the Jedi yet?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did Return of the Jedi, and then I did Force Awakens, right? Okay. And then Rogue One. I like Rogue One. It's going to get tough. It's really – when I get to my top movies, they all they tend to crush together as far as my order goes.
Rogue One is actually my favorite of the new movies, like all I love that movie. I think it's so good.
It is good. It was just – it was refreshing and unexpected when I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Expected to be as good as it was. So then Rogue One, and that leaves me with my the big three. I'm going to go A New Hope next. Just because the first 20, 30 minutes of it, I get bored by pretty quick. after we get off of the Star Destroyer and we get on Tatooine, up until basically you get to the cantina, I'm pretty bored with that storyline. And then let's, I haven't answered this question since The Last Jedi. I haven't even thought about it this closely since The Last Jedi came out. I really like The Last Jedi. Like I've said on other podcasts, other episodes, even on this 10 questions episodes, I've said how much I love the element of failure in The Last Jedi and how everybody fails and yet the storyline is going to continue. And I think that that's an important lesson that we don't teach in our culture today, that failure is actually something to be embraced instead of feared. And so I love that storyline. Empire Strikes Back has been my favorite since I first saw it. It was so shocking. The storyline gets the older I get, the better the storyline gets when I watch it. I remember a year ago right now, I was getting ready to go to Celebration, and Sam and Nate were still in Colorado. They hadn't moved out here yet. And so I was by myself and didn't have cable. So I was watching Star Wars movies a lot, getting ready for Star Wars Celebration. And I remember sitting there watching Empire Strikes Back, and the realization hit me that this isn't just it isn't the best Star Wars, just the best Star Wars movie. It is a phenomenal movie in general. And the acting and the writing and the special effects are so much more advanced than A New Hope. I think just the emotional connection with the storyline and everything will always keep Empire Strikes Back at the top for me. So,
yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Bradley, thank you for being on here. I'm going to let you, it's almost 11 o'clock your time, so I'm going to let you get to bed. You got to go to work tomorrow. So appreciate you taking some time with us. And let's see, if you're listening still to this, make sure you go to Twitter and Instagram and you make Turbis Can and you talk to Original Funko. You tweet to them or you put a message on for Original Funko on Instagram. Let them know to make Turbis Cannon on their new porg that they're trying to name. And that'll do it for this episode of 10 Questions on Tatooine Tuesday. Thank you so much, Bradley.
Thank you, David. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Call up a Hammerhead Corvette. I have an idea.
This is madness.
Rebellions are built on hope.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.